Today on Real Radio.
As a Christian, when we talk about desire, it is natural for a Christian to be passionate about what they believe. In fact, I don't even want to be around Christians that are not passionate about what they believe.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series called The Disciplines of Life, a collection of studies that applies scriptural principles to our lives as true disciples of Jesus. We all have desires, and quite obviously those desires can be good or evil. Scripture has a lot to say about desire, as pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs points out in this topical study called The Discipline of Life. Of desire.
Now, Psalm 27, this is where we'll use this verse tonight to launch out into the discipline of desire. Psalm 27, verse 3. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise up against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Noah Webster in his 1828 dictionary says regarding desire, he says, and I quote, desire is a wish to possess some form of gratification or source of happiness which is assumed to be obtainable. Desire is that internal drive which by influencing the will makes us proceed toward an action. He goes on. Desire is the emotion or the excitement of the mind, which is focused on the attainment or the possession of an object which gives pleasure, sensuality, or intellectuality, or spirituality. He goes on. He quotes, now listen, if you don't own an 1828 Noah Webster's Dictionary, buy one. You can buy it. They're about, I don't know, they're a lot of money, but buy one. It's the real English language. It's awesome. Listen to what he says. In his dictionary, under desire, this is what he says, quote, we endeavor to see your face with great desire. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Thou hast the desires of every living thing. Psalm 145, that's in that dictionary. Get it. Give it to your teacher at school and have them learn English. It's an awesome thing to realize. When we talk about Christianity, Christianity is anything but stoic. We've got this picture sometimes in our mind that as Christians, we are to be holy, and that's a fact. The Bible tells us that without holiness, we're not going to see the Lord. That is, without your life being set aside to God, it ain't going to happen, my friend, in eternity for you. As a Christian, it presupposes that we have a heart for God. And regarding Christianity, it's not stoic. Christianity is alive. In fact, the very word and the meaning of enthusiasm, you guys know. You guys know the meaning of this word maybe more than anybody. But it's rooted and grounded enthusiasm. In the Greek language, enthusiasm means that which what dwells inside of you causes an action. En in Greek is internal dwelling. Theos is God. Asm is action. When God dwells within you, it generates an action. That's only true for the Christian. And that's a powerful statement. As a Christian, when we talk about desire, it is natural for a Christian to be passionate about what they believe. In fact, I don't even want to be around Christians that are not passionate about what they believe. The world has seen enough of that stuff. They're going to be zealous unto good works, says the Bible. All these things are divinely placed within the heart of a Christian. And I don't know about you, you want to get excited. So for some of you old timers, you ought to show up on a Thursday night to the new believers class and just listen to them. Their questions and their love and their excitement for God's word and God's people and for God is absolutely contagious. Hang around new believers. Watch what happens. Children are great examples of that because new believers are very colorful in their faith and children are very colorful in life. Everything that they see is somehow brilliant to them. If you have a little kid, man, I remember doing the five-year-olds at Calvary Costa Mesa Sunday School. Man, those kids are, they're just on a whole nother wavelength, the way that they think. It's amazing. I think of one kid right now. My goodness, this is forever ago. This is 30 years ago. I'll never forget him. His name's Matthew. I can see him in my eyes right now. I had a big zit on the end of my nose on a Sunday morning, and I'm that teacher. I'm his teacher. And that kid, I walked in, there's a, it's packed full of little five-year-olds. And I don't know, man, I mean, I was okay. I was good to them, but I came in, I took control of that class, man. There ain't no five-year-old gonna run me over. But he got me that day. I'll never forget. And he goes, excuse me, Mr. Jack. Excuse me, Mr. Jack. I said, what is it? He said, what's that thing on the end of your nose? That's how kids are, man. And listen, you hear things like this when kids, and the Bible tells us, Jesus said, we've got to become like children to enter the kingdom of heaven, right? We don't need to grow up. We need to grow down. We need to grow back to where we began, but deep in the things of God. But a little kid will say things like this, and maybe it rings true in your heart or in your ears, but little kids will say things like this. I jotted something down here. Daddy, the whale jumped so high that he almost touched the sky. Well, that's not true. But when you're little, the size of that whale jumping up into the air, to that little kid from his vantage point, it looked like that whale had touched the sky, didn't it? Mommy, that's the biggest dog in the whole world, the little girl said. That's not true. But from her vantage point, that was the biggest dog in the whole world, right? As a believer, we look at life, and as Christians, life can be very, very exciting for us. And I wonder what it sounds like to God's ears. Oh, God, it's never been like this before. Well, I understand, Jack, from your perspective, right? It's never been like this. Or we might say, oh, Lord, isn't this the best ever? Well, from your perspective, Susie, it is the best. But he's got a vantage point regarding everything that's going on in our lives, that from where we're at, it's, oh, no, or wow. And God says things, hey, you know what, kiddo? Eye has not seen, ear is not heard, neither has it entered the mind of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And it's natural. Listen, you're going to hear some stuff tonight that's going to challenge your normal way of thinking. And here comes one right now. It is normal to have desire. Well, what kind of desire are you talking about? It's normal to have any kind of desire as long as it's managed by God. Desire must be managed by the Lord. And we'll talk about that tonight. Is there such thing as, we'll talk about in a moment, aberrant desires? Yes. That's fleshly, demonic, and devilish? Yes. But listen, even a person who is aberrant, who seeks through desire something in life, you know why they're doing that? Some of you, I know some of you are in law enforcement. Some of you are in the FBI here tonight. You know, you've studied that even the most deviant person, the most grotesque human being is pursuing something, listen, that they go about it wrong. They murder life, or they do something to acquire a sensation or feeling that is abnormal. The way they go about it is wrong. It's called sin. But what they're pursuing is not necessarily wrong. Example, it is natural for a person to want love, to love and be loved. But if you're not operating properly, if you are aberrant, if you are debased in your thinking, you will go about trying to pursue love, which is a good thing, in a very wrong way. Wasn't there an old song, looking for love in all the wrong places? Every human being desires, in their definition, to pursue some form of love. And therein we can get in trouble, because God defines how we ought to live our lives. When we talk about desires, what are we talking about? This is a scary time in American history, for that matter, in world history. If there was ever a time, now from my perspective, God, it's never been like this before, where it seems that every man is doing that which is right in his own eyes. Right is wrong. Wrong is right. Good is evil. Evil is good. Why? Because desire, emotion, and feelings have taken the lead above logic and reason. This is huge. Recently in California, a judge ruled against 7 million people because he said in his ruling, I feel, I felt, or someone could feel. That is absolutely borderlines on insanity. But every one of us as a human being, let alone as a Christian, have either a great experience regarding desire or it is a great struggle. And I'm going to argue tonight that it's both. One of the great examples as we get into the study tonight regarding desire is something that I want you to think about. Right now, all across America, there's a big struggle to tear down 10 commandments in courtrooms and schools and crosses. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. But I heard some news again the other day about the 10 commandments. Can't have the 10 commandments. Can't have the 10 commandments while our nation's leaders are embracing the commandments of some other god. A Judeo-Christian nation turns around and says, we can't have the 10 commandments. We'll have other commandments, but we won't have the 10. Why would someone not want to entertain the 10 commandments? I'll tell you right now. Because if you entertain the 10 commandments, number one, it is God's 10 rules for you to live. If I obey the 10 commandments, you are going to be better off if you and I know one another. Look, if you and I don't know one another, directly, it won't affect you and I. But if you and I know one another, listen, I'm going somewhere. This is how it starts. If you and I know one another, and I treat you under the commands of the 10 commandments, the rules of the 10 commandments, guess what I will not be doing? I will not be trying to murder you. How's that sound? Anybody have a problem with that? If you do, you're a murderer and you will not like the 10 commandments. So take them down. If you and I live regarding the 10 commandments, then I will not be stealing your wife and you will not be stealing mine. Or else you could be murdered. So that's kind of two commandments being broken at the same time. Do you understand where I'm going with this? It is all about life. God says these 10 commandments. But if you don't want to hear that because you have other desires that fly in the face of God's command, you don't like that. And so you got to peel those things off the wall because why? It makes you feel bad. Do you understand who is really under attack in our world today? It is not you and it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, it is illegal today for the Holy Spirit to convict someone. Think about it. Progressives call that thought crime. So I felt bad when I looked at that cross. I felt bad. Why? Why do you feel bad? Why? Why do you feel bad? What are you doing that makes you feel bad? ACLU, 1-800, ACLU, 1-800. Desire is what I'm talking about. But there's great desire as well. There's good desire. So I want you to mark these verses down as we get into this. Keep this in mind. The Bible says in Romans 15, verse 3, for even Christ did not please himself. That's an awesome statement. Romans 15, 3, even Christ did not please himself. Do you know what the radical statement of that? It implies, listen, because Jesus, are you listening, everybody?
Yes.
Jesus was 100% God, 100% man. He was the God-man, the one and only. It implies that Jesus, who was tempted in all points, the Bible says, like us, yet without sin. There were times in Jesus' life, I'll give you an example, when he was hungry, hadn't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights, and Satan came and said, by the way, Satan will always come in your moment of desperation. He'll wait. He's got a lot of time. And he doesn't sleep, you know. Think of that when you go to bed tonight. You're out in la-la land and Satan's fixing up some plan. That's why we need the Lord all the time. And so he's thinking something up. And your life gets sideways. Maybe you lost your job or whatever. Satan will wait. He'll wait until it comes to the faith hour. Whenever that is. Could be a day, could be a month, could be a minute, could be a year. You're low on money, you're low on friends, you look around and you feel completely abandoned, and then here he comes. Comes slithering on in there. Say, how's it going, Steve? Turn these stones into bread and everything will be fine. Satan wants to play off of desire, and yet God uses desire. Point number one, mark it down. Identifying what a desire is. Identify it. Here in Psalm 27, 3 and 4, it says, though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Why does David put that down? Why did God inspire David to say that? If an army is circled around me, my heart shall not fear. Why? Because our desire is to normally fear. There's some sort of strange compensation to us if we fear. When we're surrounded by the enemy, the natural propensity is to fear. There's some sort of emotional delusion to that. In fact, listen, everybody, this is not going to be a popular thing to say, but people come here to hear unpopular things, I guess, anyway. To acquiesce or to surrender or to appease is exactly the opposite of what David is saying right here. Though an army may encamp against me, I'm not going to fear. When an army begins to encompass around people, listen, ask Europe. They fell once, maybe twice, to the doctrine of appeasement, and it leads to death and mayhem, and it led to Adolf Hitler trying to take over the world with a doctrine of appeasement. Satan will never do a deal with you. David says, no way. The enemy's circling around. From his perspective, he was one man who led a nation. He was the greatest commando that the world has ever known. And king, and leader, and musician, and songwriter, and lover of God, and shepherd. Where do we stop? Where did this guy? And David says, I tell you what, when I'm surrounded, I'm not going to fear. He went around like this. He saw looks like I'm surrounded. And knowing David a little bit, David probably said, hey, God, look at these poor guys. You've got them all surrounded. You can't stop somebody who thinks like that. Identifying what a desire is. There's an army of innumerable evils that come against the Christian life. And identifying what a desire is doesn't take brain surgery. But knowing what to do with that desire is another thing, Christian. This is where most of us fall into trouble right now, is not knowing what to do with a desire. Either good desire or an aberrant or wrong desire. David says, I'm not going to fear. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, jot it down. This is great. Men, all of us need to hear this. Every one of us need to hear this. If you get a phone call, if you see a person, if you look at the newspaper, you're going to be tempted. Then take this verse. Maybe you ought to make them up on little stickers and slap it all over stuff. Does that thing scare you? Put a sticker on it. Put this sticker on it. 1 John 4, 17 and 18 says, love has been perfected among us. It means made known. We have seen it, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Listen to all these things that have to do with desire and emotion. There's no fear in love. But perfect love, that is complete love, knowing it, knowing the love of God for your life, cast out fear, because fear involves torment. Everybody hear that? Fear involves torment. Are you tormented? Then fear is getting the upper hand in your life. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. That is, if you're terrified, timid, and fearful, you're not wrapped up. I should say, you don't understand how well wrapped up you are in the love of God. You're wrapped up. You just don't realize you're wrapped up. A beautiful young man in this church last Sunday came up to me, such a sweet guy, I love this guy. And he said, you know what, Pastor Jack, I feel like my walk is going by me because I'm afraid to step out and fail. I'm afraid to sign up. You said sign up and I want to sign up, but I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm afraid I'm going to fail. I said, first of all, you've heard me say it 1,000 times. I'd rather have you get an A for trying than an F for sitting around. You stand before God in the end, and God will give you an A for trying. What if I signed up and it wasn't the ministry I was supposed to be involved in? Then you'll get an A for trying. But if you sit out life, you'll get an F for just sitting around. That's ridiculous. You're burying your talent in the ground. And he said, man, I want to do stuff. I want to do something. Then I think about my inadequacies. I said, brother, join the club. Perfect love, knowing that God loves you will remove the fear from that situation or from that person. Are you being intimidated by somebody? I tell you what, this may sound corny. I don't care how it sounds actually to you. I know this works. Are you ready? You can write it down. It's free. It's not even in my notes tonight. Listen to this. If somebody starts picking on me, you know what I do? I just say, Lord, someone's picking me. I don't feel good about this. And someone's picking on me, Lord, you deal with them. I'm serious. I got a letter from some lady 2 weeks ago. She read me up one side and down the other. And you know it's going to be a great letter when they say, I just want you to know just how much I enjoy and love and... That's the butter part. Before... And then you read it. And then thank God she completely made me feel great at the end because she said, you need to be more like, and she said the name and I said, what? More like that person? Hallelujah, Lord. Now I know exactly where they're coming from. This person just landed from Mars. The ship is probably somewhere near the property. There's burn marks out on the grass. There's crop circles. It was amazing. But when you get picked on, listen, somebody picking on you, the desire is, take them out. The desire is to panic. The desire is to be sad. The desire is to get down. How about this desire? Lord, your kid's getting picked on down here. You promised me, Lord, you said no weapon formed against me will prosper.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called The Discipline of Desire, a topical study of what Scripture says about both good and evil desires and whether or not they glorify our Creator. The Discipline of Desire is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Disciplines of Life, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Remember, you can hear this presentation again. Just visit realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and scroll down to the tab that says Today's Broadcast. And you'll find the three different buttons to click. It's quite easy to do so. Again, realradioactive.org. Well, we've now surpassed the 10-year mark of 9/11, but of course we're continually reminded never to forget. And here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, we held our own Night of Remembrance and Night of Hope. Our featured speaker was Congressman Bob McEwen. Now, he is Congressman Bob McEwen, but he also served on the Intelligence Committee during 2 presidential administrations, and we had the privilege of having him speak at our 9/11 service, and now you have the privilege of seeing and hearing Congressman Bob McEwen on DVD. We'll send you our 9/11 memorial service featuring Congressman Bob McEwen on DVD for your gift to the radio outreach of Real Radio of any amount. So call, click, or write. Visit realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or call us at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to do things the traditional way, you can send in your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.